The listing of two Allan Gray Orbis Global Feeder Funds as active ETFs on the JSE attracted a large amount of attention in mid-December, mostly due to the fee structure of the underlying funds. See, ordinarily bringing active exchange-traded funds to the market would not be that noteworthy. As at the end of November, the Allan Gray Orbis Global Balanced Feeder Fund charged a total expense ratio over a one-year basis of 6.17%, factor in transaction costs, which include VAT, and this increases to the total investment charge of 6.26%. The bulk of these fees, in fact 5%, is in the form of performance fees. By the end of November, the fund, which invests solely in the Orbis SICAV Global Balanced Fund, managed by Orbis Investment Management, delivered a one-year return of 30.2% in US dollar terms, and due to recent rand strength, a return of 23.4% in rands. This compares to benchmark performance of just 11.7% in dollars and 5.9% in rands. We welcome Radesan Naidu, the joint head of the institutional clients team and head of Orbis Client Servicing in South Africa, to this podcast. Radesan, thanks so much for joining us. Let's get right into it. Orbis has quite a unique structure where a portion of performance fees go into a fee reserve. Take us through how the fee structure works.
Thanks, Hilton. Thanks for having me. So yes, you are right. It is a unique structure and how the fee's been designed. It's been around for quite some time in Orbis's history as well. So I suppose the key point really is that when you think about performance fees, it links effectively what clients pay to the value delivered over the long term. In this case, and what's perhaps a bit more unique, is that the performance component, when Orbis does really well, and as you've pointed out, is that it actually doesn't actually get paid over to them immediately. And it'll actually only get paid out very slowly if strong returns persist and they continue to do well. And what that allows for is that, you know, subsequently, if we have a period of poorer performance, those performance fees can subsequently be refunded. And so what it comes down to from our perspective is that it really incentivizes, you know, long-term thinking and discourages short-term risk-taking, I suppose, on behalf of our clients. And it ensures that, you know, over the longer term, the clients ultimately pay something that's linked to the value added as an active manager. That's in a nutshell what the structure is there to create.
So investors currently are seeing these elevated fees precisely because there's been a sustained period of outperformance.
So in this case, what's happened over the past, as you point out, with the returns, it's been an incredibly strong year. And so the funds delivered, you know, in excess of 20% over its benchmark. And so the fees responded to that, which means the performance fee component is at 5% over the last 12 months. The important piece, though, is that actually that's how it looks on the fund fact sheet. It actually hasn't been paid over to Orbis yet. So the portion that's actually gone over to Orbis is only just over 1%. And so most of it actually just sits there in a reserve over this period at the moment. And so it's reflective, effectively, what's happening. It's reflective of a very strong outperformance period over the last 12 months, of which we shared in. And that's what's effectively explaining the higher number, I suppose, on the fact sheet.
And of course, it must be mentioned that 23% performance is actually after fees.
Yes, exactly. So effectively, that return is already in excess to the benchmark after the fee as well. So that's like an incredible result, I suppose, for the Orbis team when you think about where stock markets have been to generate that kind of outperformance. It's been quite impressive in a very testing kind of market to do that, really driven by stock picking skill overall.
Now, Radesan, if we were to kind of play this forward and say, for instance, we now have 24, even 36 months of underperformance, how does this refund mechanism that is quite unique to the structure protect investors?
Sure. So I think that's probably a really important point. When you think about any investor right now, they're looking at this and asking themselves, what happens going forward? And the first thing I'd say is that, well, you know, if you had to see that fee level again over the next 12 months, it means Orbis has done a really good job over the next 12 months again. In the converse scenario is that what happens if we do an average job or below average job? And that means actually those performance fees held actually can effectively revert back to the investor. So in a really poor scenario, effectively, let's say we were under by the benchmark by about, let's say, 10%. In that kind of scenario, actually, you'd get back about 2.5% of the fees in the performance fee. So that's essentially what would happen in that scenario. And then the last thing I'd say is that from an investor behavior perspective, I think because we know how clients look and respond to performance, it's quite emotional. During those periods of underperformance, like you find clients, you know, often are moving between funds and switching. So hopefully you also have a structure that truly shares in that kind of pain over those periods and can help or assist, because we're actually sharing in that quite directly over those periods as well, and help them maintain, I suppose, invested through the cycle to benefit from our investment approach. So that would also be like a secondary point as to what it can help, I suppose, from an investor behavior perspective.
So you mentioned earlier that there's a portion of these fees that haven't been paid across to Orbis just yet. They're just sitting there in that fee reserve. What if that fee reserve runs out?
So it can run out in two scenarios. So the first scenario is underperformance, and in this case, it would be have to be quite a bit in order to empty it. The other scenario is that Orbis will be earning a portion from that fee reserve. And the way it works, simplistically, if from today onwards, Orbis just simply performed in line with the benchmark for the next 3 years, it would eventually run out. So they're effectively earning a third of it per year. And then at that point, if the question that people might ask, what happens if it's running out and then you continue to underperform? And in that case, what we do is we set a high watermark. So effectively, we have to catch up anything that we've underperformed from that point onwards before we can charge a performance fee again. So it's completely symmetrical on both ends. You can't earn a performance fee unless you're actually above water.
Is this fee structure in place for all Orbis funds?
So it's available for a lot of clients globally and across our institutional base as well. So its history dates back to the early 2000s, effectively, as a structure, and globally as well across the various regions that Orbis operate in, be it in the UK, the US, for example. So it is well used across the Orbis suite of funds and in different regions.
Can we talk more broadly about fees? How is Allan Gray and, by extension, Orbis as a partner responding to what can, I guess, charitably be described as downward pressure on fees in the market, especially when it comes to things like performance fees?
Sure, I think that's a fair point. And I think what ultimately matters is the way in which we've always thought about fees is ensuring that, you know, they are purely reflective of value that we've added over the longer term. I think you're always going to have, I suppose, downward pressure in markets. That's a global trend. And our fee rates have come off over those periods. We've adjusted our fee structures over time. I think the more important point for us is that we've been a performance fee house for a very long time. And a real benefit of that from our perspective is creating a strong alignment of incentives, which we think is pretty important when you think about this active management game that we're in. You know, as an investor, when you're in a fund and you're picking a manager, the outcomes are really uncertain. And when you're looking ahead, I think, you know, if you really want your active manager to, like, you know, deliver an outcome, you need a structure that aligns to that. And I suppose that's why, from our perspective, performance fees have worked well in that regard, and particularly if they're well designed and aligned. So we're always monitoring that and, you know, making adjustments. But I think the big piece there is this question around, well, the performance fee structure as a whole. And it's something we're quite passionate about and something that we've believed in quite strongly over our history.
Now, these two active ETFs were listed on the JSE in mid-December. Let's start off with what is an active ETF and what is the investment case specifically for these active ETFs in the South African market?
Sure. So it is great. I suppose it's a new route for investors to access our investment expertise, particularly actively managed portfolios. The simplest way I could describe it is that we've got the same unit trust investments available, the Allan Gray Orbis Global Equity and Global Balance feeder funds, which have been around since the mid-2000s. Essentially, those are unlisted. You invest in them via Allan Gray on the platform or directly with us. So these would be like listed versions of them, effectively, that can be now traded on the JSE. But it's ultimately governed by the same structure. So it's governed by CISCA, which is the same sort of regulatory framework on how the underlying product works. And it allows investors now to effectively trade in these underlying unit trust vehicles, but trade on them via the JSE. And it supposedly expands the pool of investors that could access these products in a relatively low friction way as well. So the framework didn't exist until a few years ago. So it's been a new route that, you know, many managers have launched products on, and we've now done over the last few months as well.
Right, there's some ideas with Allan Gray. He's the joint head of the institutional clients team and head of Orbis client servicing in South Africa. Right, there's some. Thank you so much for your time.
Thanks, Elton. All the best.